Matthew, the sixth chapter. Some of this will be review for some of you. Some of it will be brand new. But as we begin talking about some of the best prayers that we can pray in our life, I think that we would be amiss if we did not include what Jesus taught us to pray. Amen? It's commonly known as what? The Lord's Prayer. But I would correctly call it the model prayer, because it's the pattern of prayer. It's the protocol of prayer. Jesus didn't say, pray this prayer. He said, in this manner, therefore pray. And that's what he says here in verse 9. So this is the way in which we pray. This is the way we compartmentalize our prayer life. And he says, in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So he starts off by us addressing our Heavenly Father, who is in the highest, most lofty and influential place. And then it begins with prayer, by us setting apart, dedicating who God is. Amen? But notice the first request in verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if you recall, when we studied the model prayer, we learned something from this. That the first thing Jesus taught us to pray is for his kingdom to come. And you know why this is so important? Because if you listen to the prayer lives of most people, they're praying for their own kingdom to come, not his kingdom. What do I mean by that? Because it's always about, in most people's minds, because of this is where their heart is gravitating towards. They pray for their children. They pray for their finances. They pray for their physical health. It's all about what I need in my life. But Jesus taught us we need to have our focus on something else first. And what is that? His kingdom coming in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. Amen? And we found out from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, why this is so important. Because in Matthew 6, do you remember when Jesus taught us, don't worry about your life? And that's really all a lot of people are doing when they're praying, is what? They're worrying. They're going to God about all the things that are troubling them in their life. And they're like, God, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? And it's about my personal kingdom. Jesus said, don't do that. You, on the other hand, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Now that's good news right there, because what that teaches me is if I start out in my prayer life seeking first the kingdom of God for his kingdom to come and his will to be done, God told me that everything then I have need of in my life that my heart might be wanting to gravitate towards, it'll come as a byproduct of seeking first the kingdom of God. And do you remember the example we saw of that? The perfect biblical example is of Solomon. Now, Solomon was actually known to be very young when the Lord came to him and gave him this request. He basically came to Solomon and he told him what? He said, ask of me whatever you want and I'll give it to you. And I'm sure Solomon probably thought long and hard about this. And do you know what he said? Most people, if you asked them, what did Solomon request, the one word answer would be, wisdom, right? But that's not technically what he asked for. There's actually, this story is recounted in two different places, Kings and Chronicles, but he actually asked this, Lord, give me a wise and understanding heart that I might rule over this people of yours. Because why? He was taking on his father's kingdom, David. And he's putting on some big shoes. So he's like, Lord, I'm going into this. This is your kingdom. And so I'm asking you to give me the wisdom and the understanding in my heart so that I can be the kind of leader that you've called me to be. Might we say he did exactly this verse? Is that when the Lord said, anything you want, he said, Lord, I'm going to seek first your kingdom, because the kingdom of Israel was the kingdom of God at that time, right? So in that situation, he sought first the kingdom of God. And guess what God told him? This is what's so awesome, because it perfectly fulfills this verse. He said, because you did not ask for wealth, riches, the life of your enemies, etc., guess what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you the wisdom and the understanding that you've asked for, plus I'm going to give you all these other things as a byproduct. Why? Because he sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and therefore all these other things would be added to him. So don't you think, maybe, just maybe, that one of the best prayers you and I could ever pray for ourselves and for our loved ones is, Lord, I'm seeking first your kingdom in my life. And I ask you to show them to seek first your kingdom in their life. Why? Because in seeking first your way of being and doing right, what involves your reign, what involves everything that you want things to be done like, everything else that I'll ever have need of will come as a byproduct of this. Amen? So we're missing it a lot of times when we're spending all of our time praying for the physical, natural needs in our life. We should be praying first for the kingdom of God, because when the kingdom comes, we're just going to be blessed. I remember one particular time I was praying in a prayer meeting, and we were just praising and worshiping God. We were hallowing his name. And I remember I got a revelation when we were praying, and I'd never seen this before, is that I was talking about how God was blessed forever. You know, the Bible teaches us that he is the blessed one. Amen? And he's obviously the one that knows how to bless, right? And when he blesses you, you aren't going to have to go to somebody else and ask him, do you think I'm blessed by God or not? No, you are going to know it. It will be absolutely obvious to you and to those around you. Amen? And I remember I was praising him and said, Lord, you're the blessed one. You are blessed forever. And Lord, I thank you. This is revelation then coming to me. I said, Lord, I thank you that in the sphere of you, we have to be blessed. Because if you just get close enough to him, you're going to be blessed in your life. It comes as a byproduct of getting close to him. Amen? His kingdom, his rule, his reign becoming where I abide. And boy, the blessings just come as a result of it. So it's not like I got to somehow get God to bless me. It's like when I pray over what I'm going to speak on. You know what I do? I never ask the Lord this. God, please bless my message today. I never pray that. You know what I pray? Lord, what is the message for today? Because if I teach on what you want me to teach on, I know it's going to be blessed. Amen? So in our life, our prayer should be this. Lord, what do you want me to do today? How can your kingdom become more of a reality in my life? How is your rule, your reign, your standard, your way necessary in my life today? And then when I'm walking in that, I don't have to ask God to meet all my needs. They're going to come as a byproduct. Because Jesus taught us what? He said that he already knows the needs you have in your life. So why are we educating God on what these needs are? Let's just get in the position to what God wants to do in our life. Amen? So the first thing I would say is things that encompass the kingdom of God, which goes into my next point. What did Solomon ask for? A wise and understanding heart. Amen. He sought for something that goes toward God's kingdom rather than what benefits him personally. Now, we're going to look at something now. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1 while I'm talking. There are some very powerful prayers we have in the Bible that were prayed by the Apostle Paul. These are new covenant prayers. These are things that we as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ should absolutely camp on and fill our hearts with and become the absolute priority of the way we pray. Because how many of you would agree that if Paul prayed a certain way, it'd be a good idea for us to pray that way? Amen? I mean, there is no question in that, because this guy knew the will of God. He knew how to tap into things that were even unprecedented. He was the one that got the revelation of the grace of God and the mercy of this new and better covenant we live in. So he prayed a bunch of prayers, and I would encourage you in your own time to look up some of these prayers, the Pauline prayers that were included in his letters. But one thing that, you know what I found out as I've studied these? I studied all of his prayers, and I've broken them down, and I've looked at them in depth. And you know what I could never find in all my searching in Paul's prayers? He never one time prayed for anything physical or natural. Everything that encompassed his prayer life was for things like wisdom, revelation, knowledge, fruit, strength, power. They were all virtues that were in the spirit and character being developed in spiritual people. And then I found out, I'm like, so did Paul not care? Did he think it's not necessary for us to pray about the physical things in our life? Nope. Go back to the point we just said. Because in releasing prosperity in the soul of a person, it releases prosperity in the person's physical natural life. 3 John 2, one of my favorite verses. What does he say? Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper in every area of your life and be in divine health, is what it's referring to, just as your soul prospers. And what that shows us is the key to prosperity on the outside and physical health in my physical body is what? My soul prospering. So in praying for the inside of the person, we're praying for the outside of the person. So if I see, for example, one of you, this is one of the ways I pray. If one of you is struggling financially in your life, all right? And man, I just can't pay my bills and I just keep going around these same mountains and it's just a difficult thing in my life. I don't just pray that God would send a little dog to your front doorstep with a little bit of money wrapped around his collar. Because that's not really going to help you. It might help you temporarily, but what is of eternal value? Lord, give them wisdom. Why? Because what's the Bible teach us? Wisdom, with wisdom comes riches and honor. So if I get wisdom, the financial needs are met as a byproduct. So one of the greatest things that we can pray in our life is for what? The wisdom to be given to the people in our lives and for ourselves. Ephesians chapter 1 teaches us this. Now, if you don't have anything underlined, highlighted, or written in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 1, you either don't believe in writing in your Bible or you're a new baby Christian. Because I'm here to tell you, Ephesians chapter 1 is loaded with awesome truth. Beginning in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not will, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And then he goes on to talk about how we're predestined in him, that we've received an inheritance in him. And Paul never gives us the courtesy to take a breath and just let us meditate on some of these awesome truths of all the things we have in Christ Jesus. And you know why? Because this church that he was writing to, the church of Ephesus, was taught very well. They had some of the best teaching. Their pastor was Timothy, Paul's son in the faith. Guess who else preached there? Peter preached at this church. Paul preached at this church, praise God. And then, guess who, if you would have came and sat on their pews 2,000 years ago, guess who you could have been sitting next to? Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the disciple whom Jesus loved, the Apostle John. They could have been just sitting right next to you in church. This church was loaded. This church was educated. They had so much awesome truth. But how many of you know, you can know a lot of stuff, but not have your eyes opened to that information that has gotten into your head. And far too many Christians are living their life with head knowledge crammed up there without actually having those truths living in their heart, never having their eyes open to seeing them. So the Apostle Paul knew this, and guess what he did? He prayed a prayer for them here in chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. Because he's given them all this awesome truth, but then he says, there's something though that I'm praying for you. And this is one of the best prayers you and I can pray as well. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then as you continue to read the rest of this prayer, you know what you find? You find that he wasn't praying for them to have something they didn't already possess. He's praying for their eyes to be open and to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning the things they already had in Christ Jesus. So, man, isn't that one of the best ways we can pray for people? Lord, open their eyes to be able to see exactly the way things are. One of my best stories of this, I'm not a big person that likes to study history or anything like that, but I remember hearing this described concerning this prayer. There used to be a very wealthy, and I might be wrong, so don't throw stones at me if I get the details of this wrong, but there used to be this man that was a very wealthy newspaper publisher, I believe, and his name was William Randolph Hearst. You heard of him? And you know what this guy liked to do? On his spare time, his personal hobby was to collect famous art treasures. So he had a guy that worked for him, an agent, and he would send this guy abroad to go find these art treasures and have for his personal collection. So he remember reading about this one particular thing that he just had to have. Oh, this is something that I just got to possess in my life. So he called his agent in and said, I want you to spare nothing in order to find this art treasure. I want you to go and search high and low to find this famous art treasure because I have to have it. So his agent goes, searches, is gone for a long period of time, and he finally comes back and tells Mr. Hearst, Mr. Hearst, I have located the art treasure that you have been desiring to have. And he says, great, where is it? Did you get it? He said, it's already in your warehouse. He spent money, he spent time, he made so much effort to try to get something he already had. And I believe there's far too many Christians living their life just like that. We are searching high and low. God, more power, more wealth, more of these things in my life, when the Lord says, it's already in you. You already have it. A better prayer would be, Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning all the things that I have. Because one of the things he prays is that they would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Where's the riches of the glory of this inheritance? Is it in England? Is it in India? Is it in heaven? No, it's in the saints. We have to have our eyes open to be able to see what we have on the inside of us. So to me, one of the best things we can pray is similar to what Solomon did. Lord, I want some wisdom. Because, you know, we camped on this at our church. We studied wisdom, the principal thing, for months. And we found out that in the book of Proverbs, which is, in my opinion, a great homework assignment for you this year. You know what it is? Read a proverb a day. And read through the book of Proverbs 12 times this year. Particularly if you're struggling in your physical health, in your finances, or relationships. Because why? He teaches us in there what the wisdom is concerning these things so that I can see success in these areas of my life. So one of the best things we can pray is what? Lord, I want to get some wisdom. And in all my getting, I want to get some understanding. Because I know in getting wisdom and understanding, everything else I will need in my life will come as a byproduct. Can I get an amen? So these are some awesome things. Now go over to Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at what Paul prayed for the Colossians. Again, study these prayers out. My notes that I'll send out this week, I'll have a lot of these references for your viewing pleasure. But in verse 9, I love this one. What an awesome prayer this was. He's praying for a church that he had never personally visited, which shows us something. Boy, that's one of the best ways in which we should pray. Is it doesn't matter whether we've ever met somebody or not. Everybody needs this. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, what? This is what's awesome about it. When they were prospering, when they were loving one another and when they had faith, read the verses before that. They were actually excelling in things most Christians don't excel at. And he said, for this reason, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Showing us what? The most important time to pray for people is not when they're struggling. It's when they are prospering in the kingdom of God. Why? Because new levels bring new devils. And the devil's going to try to knock them off that, I'm telling you. So we need to be praying for those people. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And you'll find this in all of Paul's prayers. Is man praying for wisdom, knowledge, revelation? These were the things he emphasized with the churches he prayed for. So don't you think that's something we should emphasize in our own life and in the life of our loved ones? But he prayed that, Father, fill them with the knowledge of your will. You know why? Because if you're filled with the knowledge of God's will, there's no room for the devil's will in your life. If I'm filled up with knowing what God wants, what God desires, then praise God, the devil is not going to have any access in my life. And I'll be able to say what Jesus said. The devil's come and he's found nothing in me. Why? Because he was so filled with the will of his Father. There was no room for the devil in his life. Oh, praise God. So the first prayer was revolving around the kingdom of God. This prayer, I would say it this way. It is basically to pray, Father, grant me and them the wisdom they need. Give them a wise and understanding heart so that they can truly prosper on the inside and then on the outside. Create in them the capacity to get and keep wealth by giving them your way of thinking concerning these things. Boy, that's an awesome way to pray, amen? So, let's talk more about something else that leads us into this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Paul didn't just pray for the Ephesians one time. He prayed for them twice. And in both of these prayers, there it was unlocking many awesome things. But in Ephesians chapter 3, I believe Ephesians 3 is what built upon Ephesians 1 prayer. Amen? Now notice this. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. And notice this. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Let's continue reading. We're going to go through it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, length, depth, width, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay? And I'm going to come back and comment on this here in a minute, but look at verse 20. Look what we get to. When those prayers become effective in your life, look what happens. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, come on, say it with me, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. See, many people think, if God wants to do it, he's able to do it. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. But how many of you are experiencing consistently in your life that promise? Is he doing exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think in your finances, in your health, in your relationships? No, it's not automatic just because God's able to do it. Amen? It was like the father that brought the son with epilepsy to Jesus. He came to his disciples first. His disciples couldn't get any results. So then Jesus showed up and bailed him out. And he comes to him and says, if you can do anything, have compassion on my son and heal him. And I love Jesus' response. He wasn't going to let him throw all of that over on him. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. You know what essentially he was saying is? One translation says it this way. What do you mean, if I can? If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So the point is, it's according to the power that works in us that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. So what is this power that needs to be working in us for us to experience all that God has for us? Well, I've heard a lot of theories on what this power is. And I'm going to tell you something. Most people have no clue what he was talking about here. Back up to verse 16. When he began his prayer, what was the first thing he asked God to do in their life? To be strengthened with might. The word might is actually a poor translation. It comes from the Greek word dunamis, which is the same word that was used in Ephesians 3:20 when he described the power that's working in us. So it's the same power. So when he says here that he would strengthen you, and the word dunamis is even in that word, empower you with power through his spirit, where? In the inner man. That's the power that works in us that unlocks the ability of God to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. So might we say that one of the best prayers we can pray over ourselves and over others is, Lord, strengthen me, empower me with some of this dunamis power that you're talking about right here. Amen. Why? Because to prosper on the inside again is to prosper on the outside. Amen. For example, I remember when we were studying the book of Proverbs. And you know what I did? I went through every proverb and I categorized them. I said, these are the ones for finances. These are the ones for physical health. And you know what I found out? I'd never seen this before until we were teaching that here at High Point Church. Is this point right here. All the ones that referred to physical health. Did you know what you saw as the common theme? Is that our outward condition of our bodies was due to the condition of our inner man. Amen. Like, for example, we like to quote this one, a merry heart does good like a medicine, right? I used to think that verse meant that if I laugh, then it will work and have a medicinal effect in my physical body. But then I saw something different. That's not what he was saying. To actually have a merry heart works like a medicine in my life. In other words, when I've got joy, when I'm content, when I'm happy in here, it'll actually produce and release things in my physical body that will create health in my life. That's why he would say things like envy is rottenness to the bones and so forth. When we allow those things on the inside of us, in our heart, it actually can have negative effects on our physical body. I'm not saying everybody that's physically sick has got some kind of brokenness on the inside, but what I am saying is, as a general rule, that's what the Bible teaches us is one of the main reasons people have reoccurring physical issues. It's because of what's going on the inside. So if I'm praying for somebody with physical problems, come on now, what's the best way to pray for them? Lord, strengthen them with power through your spirit in their inward man. Heal them up on the inside. Show them the things they need to see and give them this power. You know, I've run across so many Christians, and as noble as it is, and we do this here, we seek after the power in our life. Oh, God, I want the power working in my life to cast out devils, to heal the sick. And they're looking for the power and authority over all these things when they ain't even got an authority in their heart over a sink full of dirty dishes. What do I mean by that? Something just doesn't work out around them and they fall apart like a $2 suitcase. They have no self-control. They have no ability to be able to handle these things. We're fooling ourselves if we're trying to have authority over demons when we don't even have control over ourselves. So the reason for this is we need to be praying for the power to rule over ourselves. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. Look at this. This is great. He says after he prays for them to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's go to the next verse. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, let's stop here for a second before I get to this point. Being fruitful in every good work. I would have assumed that if I'm doing good works, I'm automatically being fruitful. Right? Wouldn't that be fruit to God? Not according to this verse. Being fruitful in every good work. And do you know what the answer to this is? You know how you can tell? If I were called to be a missionary in some third world country, and I'm standing here pastoring you today, I might be doing a good work, but I'm not going to necessarily be fruitful in God's eyes because I'm not doing the work that it was his will for me to do. Thus the reason he said in verse 9, fill them with the knowledge of their will first. Verse 11, strengthen. Look at here. Here's that request for power again. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Most people stop right there and they're like, yeah, praise God. Give me that demon exercising power, Lord. I want to see the miracles, signs, and wonders in my life. Hallelujah. But notice that wasn't Paul's intent. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. For what? For all patience and long suffering with joy? You mean to tell me, Paul, that the power that you were praying, his glorious power, is not for me necessarily to have power working on things outside. It's for me to have control over myself that I might be more patient with people and more long-suffering? I'm here to tell you today, saints, that the key to true spirituality is this. When you look at the fruit of a spirit-controlled life, what is it? Love, joy, peace. What's the last one? Self-control. Oh, praise God. These are the bookends to a truly spiritual life. And if I am strong spiritually according to these things, what's going to be the manifestation in my life? I will be patient. I will be long-suffering. I will have self-control. And I will love well. I don't care how much somebody can stand up here with a microphone and prophesy to you all day long. If they don't know how to love well, they are not spiritual. It usually goes over that way. And it's true. This is what we've got to be experiencing in our life. So here's another good prayer to pray. You ready for this? Lord, strengthen me in my inner man. Empower me from the inside to the outside. For I know that when my soul prospers, it will affect my outward man. What a great way to pray for people in our lives. So let's go to another one. I want us now to look at the rest of this Ephesians prayer. Go back to Ephesians 3, please, Emmy. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I came this morning, praise God. This is encouraging to me. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. So after he begins with the foundation of being, verse 16, of being strengthened with all might through his spirit in the inner man, notice the next thing he moves into, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Boy, you know what's the revelation of that right there? Evidently, Christ doesn't automatically dwell in a Christian's heart through in their life. This is something he was praying that would happen for a group of believers. Because Jesus can live in your spirit. Jesus can be a part of your life. But doesn't mean he's comfortable in your heart. Amen. I like to use this example. It's like how you would allow Jesus, how you would, if you invited somebody to come stay in your house, right? Oh, man. Do you make things as comfortable for them as you possibly can? I'm telling you, some of our hearts are so cluttered up with so much stuff that I can guarantee you Jesus is not comfortable living, dwelling in that house. I'm not saying we're not saved. I'm just saying he's not on the throne. We're like, Lord Jesus, you can come and hang out in the living room. Have access in the living room. But all these other doors in my house are shut. Don't go in there, praise God. And you know, that's something that's awesome. Like we went over to some folks' house here not recently during Christmas time. And you know what? People don't mind you going in their room. You know, I'm not hiding nothing. I live in a glass house here, praise God. Didn't you say that? You said, oh, go throw the jackets in there on the bed. Praise God for that. Some people wouldn't let you in there. And when we're talking about our spiritual and material heart, I can guarantee you, we're like, Jesus, do not go in that room. We need to have an open door policy with the Lord. Every place you can live in. That you being rooted and grounded. That's funny. You being rooted and grounded in love. Say in love. In love. May be able to comprehend with all saints. Say all saints. What is the width, length, depth, and height? Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about the dimensionless love of God that he said in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from. Oh, that's awesome. Verse 19, and look at this one, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Oh, praise God. Do you mean I can actually know something that passes knowledge? How is that even possible? Can you know something that passes knowledge? You might not know it completely, but you can experience it. I like to, not to cheapen it at all, but I like to liken God to the best bag of Lay's potato chips. You know, they say, what do you say? You can't eat one. Boop, 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 boop. I mean, you just keep popping them bad boys. I'm telling you, when you get a taste of God, you got to have some more. There ain't no drug, there ain't no drink, there ain't nothing this world could ever offer that can satisfy like God. You can become addicted to Him. And when you become addicted to Him, oh, glory be to God forever, it's awesome. Because there's no, it don't cost nothing. There's no hangover. It won't ruin your life, and you have to pick it all up again. God will make your life and house whole, praise God. Amen. So, what's he praying here? That people would know love. Another one of the best prayers we can pray. Because listen to me now. The single greatest revelation, in my opinion, that one could ever have is this. Lord, I want to know how loved I am by you. If I know how much God loves me, and I'm telling you, that truth lives in my heart, not this, well, I know God loves me. Well, I'm glad you told me because I'd have never known it by your face. No, when it's living in your heart and it's a reality and you're basking in the embrace of God, when that's a reality, things can't steal your joy, nor can they steal your faith. Because faith works by love, amen? So when I understand how much God loves me, my faith's going to go through the roof. My love for God is going to escalate. Everything that is necessary in my life to experience the blessedness of God will be enhanced through knowing His love in my life. That's all I got to say about that. The last one is this. I want to end with this, so be patient with me. Hey, can somebody give me 5 minutes today? Five more minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20. There we go. All right, we got about 25 minutes. Praise God. The last one is a little bit more trayology, and I really want to make sure I get this one out there to you because I consider this to be one of the best prayers you can pray. You ready for this one? It's a good one. It is this. Lord, help me to see things through your eyes. Lord, help me to see things through your eyes. Now, let me categorize what things are. The first thing you could be praying is, Lord, help me to see myself through your eyes. Oh, that we would be able to see ourselves through the same eyes of love that love himself sees us through. Oh, it would change everything in my life, because I'd see myself as valuable. I'd see myself as important. It's like the movie The Help. You remember that? Was it The Help? Am I saying that right? You is special. You is kind. You is important. I mean, she would instill that in that little girl. God wants to instill that in us, to see ourselves the way God sees us. You know what that'll do? It'll eradicate the insecurities in you. I'm telling you, I used to be a very insecure person. And it's always a work in progress. You can always go backwards, but I'm going to tell you something. When I started getting the revelation of how God sees me, then it almost kind of puts off the air of, I care less what you think about me. Amen. Amen. Because I know I am valued by God. I know He loves me. And it's not based on my circumstances. It's based on truth of what He did on the cross. So, that I may see myself through your eyes. How about this one then? If we need to be seeing ourselves through His eyes, what else should we be doing? Seeing other people through His eyes. Oh, this has helped me so many times. Walk in love and be forgiving and merciful towards you. I'm just kidding. What I'm saying is, have you ever had somebody just irritates the snot out of you? I mean, they just, everything about them just gets you so fuming mad, and they do things to hurt and offend you. I'm telling you what, man, there's been many different times I'll pray this prayer. Lord, help me to see them through your eyes. And you know what? Compassion comes out instead of anger. Amen. You know, some of the things that have helped me, you know, not everything has been easy since we came on here. About 6 years ago, pastor in this church, there's always things you're going to have to work through because with people, there's just going to be differences and things like that. And you know something? One thing I realize is you don't really realize necessarily why people are the way they are until you hear their testimony. When you take the time to have your eyes and ears open to know where people have come from, you come to realize very easily why people might be the way they are now. But if we don't take the time to even think about that, we're only thinking about how they're affecting me right now, it's going to be hard. I remember this one instance when I was a relatively baby Christian, and I was hanging out with these guys. I was a youth minister, not youth pastor, but worked as a youth leader. And there was this, the pastor's grandson, where we were from. God, I hope he doesn't listen to this. But the pastor's grandson, nobody liked him. Because he came across as brash, arrogant, and all these different things. So nobody really liked to hang around with him. And I remember I was in the car with these two other guys, and they were talking about how arrogant and prideful he was and this and that. And boy, it was like the Lord opened my eyes, took the veil off, and I said, you guys see pride and arrogance. I see insecurity. You know, usually when people are the way they are, it's a cover-up for an inadequacy in them. And then, in seeing that, though, then you can maybe have compassion because you're like, oh, that makes sense. Not in a condescending way, but in a merciful, gracious way. So if I'm seeing others through God's eyes, this is what it unlocks. How about this one? That I may see circumstances through God's eyes. Oh, how important that is. I can guarantee you, it's like, this is the example I would want to use on this. It's like how our children react to circumstances versus how the adults do. How many of you have you ever had young children? Faith, when you were young, and Liz, you know, I guarantee you there were certain things that when Faith was younger, didn't have experience in life, as myself and you guys, that we overreacted to things that happened circumstantially in our life. But the parents, because they've been through life and they've experienced enough, like, honey, it's not that big of a deal. You will survive this. I promise you it's not all what you think it is. Right? Has that ever happened to any of us in our life and with our kids? Do you reckon that might happen with us as the children of God, babes in Christ, with a heavenly father that's lived a whole lot longer than the parents have? If we see things from his perspective, it changes things. So, Lord, open my eyes to be able to see things through your eyes. And then, like, seeing time through his eyes and things like that. Lots of important things that we should have our eyes open to. But there's a lot of other ones that I believe are good, solid prayers that we can pray in our life. But I want to end with one. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Because I really felt like the Holy Spirit impressed on my heart this one, this morning. I'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. This is the last verse in 27 chapters to the Corinthians. When you combine 1 and 2 Corinthians together. It's the last thing Paul left with them. And it's a prayer. And I want you to notice what he prayed. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, things we've already talked about. We talked about what Christ has already done for us, having a spirit of wisdom and revelation on that. That's the grace. How about the love of God, being rooted and grounded in that love? We've covered that. Those are two of the main things he prayed. But look at the last one. And the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you right here, this is one of the best prayers that you can pray over yourself and your loved ones. May the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. It's not good enough to just be baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues 2 decades ago, or anything like that. We need the Holy Spirit being an intimate fellowship in our life on a daily basis. Because the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He'll lead you out of all temptation. Many things that we experience in our life, from a negative standpoint, are a direct result of not having the communion of the Holy Spirit. Because if we'd have listened to Him, He'd have led us to do something else. He'd had us turn this way when we turned that way, right? That's why we got to have this communion of the Holy Spirit in our life. And listen, I know we've got people in this place today that have come out of some bad times in their life. People that have dabbled and been involved in just drugs, alcohol, and things like this. Hear me now. Hear the Lord now. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. And I'm not talking about you've been filled with Him at some time in the past. You need this relationship with Him. Because if you've got Him and you're listening to what He tells you to do, and you're every day you're walking in this fellowship with Him, you will not make a wrong turn, which will get you on that road to going back as a dog returns to its own vomit. Listen to me now. The Holy Ghost will cause you to live a life of freedom if you will receive Him in your life and walk in what He tells you to do. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand on our feet. Thank y'all for your patience with me today. Praise God. But we want to hear from the Lord. Amen. It's not about coming here and listening to a man or a woman say some things to you. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit. So I believe the Holy Spirit's been talking to some people today. So these are ways in which you can unlock the power and kingdom of God in your life and in those around you. And I encourage you, again, be a doer and not a hearer. Father, I thank You right now in the name of Jesus for these truths that are self-evident, that reveal to us how we can be more effective in our prayer lives. Lord, we want to be people that pray with power, with anointing. And Lord, I thank You that You've given us prayers like the ones Paul prayed, the one Jesus taught us to pray. These things are there so that we can unlock this power and potential in our life. So Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice right now that, Lord, You would give them all a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You, that Your kingdom would come and Your will would be done in their lives. Strengthen them all with power through Your Spirit in their inner man. And cause their hearts to be rooted and grounded in love, that we would know that love that passes all knowledge. Lord, we want to see things through Your eyes. So I thank You for giving us the heart and the mind to see things like You do. You're so faithful, You're so good, You're so loving, and we thank You today that You're good enough to bring us here together on this last Sunday of 2020 to hear what Your will is in our prayer life. We bless You and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.